What's good, y'all? Welcome to the John Katz Show, episode number 59. Thank you so much for tuning in, keeping these going. Happy to be back. I was talking a lot last episode about energy and intentionality and stuff that I talk about a lot, but feels good. Feels good to do this. And I think that, yeah, intentionality is everything. And I think a lot of times you think you're doing something for specific reasons, but subconsciously you're still kind of doing it for other reasons that you haven't fully let go of and just kind of opened up and released that stuff. And feels different, feels good. And I got so much great feedback from you guys, and it sparked a lot of combos. And I was planning on doing, I mentioned last step, I was going to do this episode on more about the construct of past, present, future. And I might get into that a little bit, but honestly, there was so much follow-up from last week and just really great conversations with people I know and people on social media. And then I also reached out specifically and asked for some listener topics from you guys on Twitter, because the being engaged part feels important to me too, and I want to be more directly engaged. And so I'm going to do some of those listener topics this episode as well, follow up on some stuff from last week, and then get into those. And then I'm going to keep the list going. I haven't done any food related list, I realize. And I used to actually do some food review stuff on here a long time ago. But, you know, thin as I am, I like to eat. I like some good food, and I talk about food a lot. And so I'm going to list my top five favorite meals, coming up at the end of the show. But yeah, it feels good. It's funny, as somebody I know said to me after the last episode, like, it's, you know, in a complimentary way, it's good, relatable, etc. In the sense that I'm like a tortured soul, you know. Yeah. But listen, I don't know, maybe. We're all tortured to some degree. I don't want to come off, I'd hope that beneath all the tortured stuff that might transmit or get conveyed from me, especially, you know, it's just been my experience in life that some people pick up on stuff from other people and some people don't necessarily. So it may not come off that way to some. Maybe it does to others. If anything, I'm a work in progress, and I'd like to think that there's an underlying optimism beneath it all. You know, if anything, doing the last ep, it kind of opened me up to this new direction of, hey, maybe I should, because this is what I do anyway in my life, is dispel things. Trying to dispel everybody's bullshit in both directions. Everything's just such like a knee-jerk backlash type reaction with people. And yeah, I think for a while it was like you had to be cynical, obviously, about certain things. And now everybody's just way too cool and cynical for their own good. And everybody's picking stuff apart and examining things that they shouldn't be. And they're getting more deeply lost in the weeds from my perspective. That's what I see. So, and I kept talking about last week, you know, be the thing you want to see in the world, or I should embrace that more. I should embrace, hey, here's what I see everybody saying to do about X, Y, Z, or here's what I see people gravitating toward. And some of it's good, but a lot of it that I see is counterproductive and detrimental. And whether it even applies to my own life or not shouldn't even factor in. Obviously, a lot of my personal experience is going to bleed through and all that good. And I'll talk about my own life and experiences a lot as well. But yeah, there's no one size fits all cookie cutter solution for people. And I see a lot of weird stuff going on out there. So I'm going to be like last week was a lot about men, women, and relationships. That's what I'm actually going to be getting into this episode the most. A lot of the masculine, feminine stuff. A lot of conversations came up from the last ep, and I didn't touch on a lot of things. So there's actually much to get to as far as that goes. But forgetting love and relationships and a lot of the stuff I've been talking about recently, just in general, I look around and I see people getting in their own way a lot, much how I've gotten in my own way in my own ways. And listen, I don't want to shade it too much toward having to do with social media, but at the same time, a lot of what I do witness is on those platforms, and you can no longer really parse out this idea that, well, social media is its own thing, right? It's not. We have all become cyborgs. We do all have this supercomputer in our pockets 24 hours a day, and everyone is on some form of something. Not everyone, but the majority of people. You might not be on Twitter, but you're in some Facebook groups. Maybe you're not. You're on Instagram. You're on something. And at the very least, you're much more in contact. You're in group chats with your friends or a group, whatever. People are just connected electronically and through technology in a different way. So much of the interaction is taking place within that arena. And then I see a lot of it in real life too, with my family. And everyone's searching for answers. Everyone's kind of just looking for, and a lot of people correctly are looking inside themselves, because that's where all the answers really are, with you and with the universe. And that's the stuff you should be really, really delving into with your true deepest energy. And yes, be inspired by other people, but everybody's looking to other people to tell them, here's what you need to do. I'm embracing the anti that. 90% of the advice you're going to get from people online, especially if they're, a self-proclaimed life coach or a relationship guru and people like that, they're going to be projecting their own insecurities and experiences and past relationships and breakups. They're going to be projecting all of these things. And again, I'm sure I've been guilty of that on here a ton, because your personal experiences are always going to bleed through. However, people aren't all the same. People aren't all one thing. There is no one size fits all. There is no, this is the game you're supposed to play between men and women, and this will solve your relationship issue. That simply does not exist. That's why I wanted to really follow up. And that's part of the reason. And that's a lot of what I'm about to follow up on too, with the stuff from last week. Yeah, there are a lot of lost, lonely people out there searching for answers and searching for guidance and searching for quick answers. And some of it is good. And some people are doing the right things to better themselves and heal themselves and make themselves healthier. And I'm trying to do those things. And I do and have done a lot of the wrong things too. And that's mainly why I talk about a lot of this stuff as well. But so yeah, in that regard, I see the masses being pointed in a lot of really silly, weird, counterproductive directions. And here's what I realized too, because there are people online that kind of internally, I hate the word trigger, right? It makes you sound like you're emotionally unstable, but there's some motherfuckers on there that really irk me on a deep level. And I realize what it is. It's that it's not necessarily the stuff they're saying. It's the people being victimized by it. It's the people I see in their replies saying how great it is. And then they're going to take it and implement it in their life. And I'm thinking, please don't go home and implement this into your life. And not that I'm some shining example of how to have successful relationships and such, but I want to be able to reach out to that person and be like, please don't take that guy's advice. He's projecting some shit onto you from his ex. And it's like, focus on yourself, accept people for who they are, and a million other things. Anything that involves you getting further away from who you are, whether it be in a relationship or not, any advice that's sending you in a direction that's saying, pretend to do this thing or pretend to be this thing so that, and again, professional, transactional, you're making a sale, you're negotiating on buying a car, fine, do that shit all day. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about personal relationships, love, people you care about, people that affect your lives, all that stuff. Any advice sending you in a direction where you're getting further away from your authentic self and further away from expressing how you really feel and embracing your true energy in the name of manipulating other people's behavior. Look, some of that might work short term. Some of that's going to be quick fix band-aid stuff. You can manipulate people. Is that what you want? I don't see it ever being a long-term solution. And also it's just the opposite of what love and relationships are supposed to be about. The reason love and connection and relationships are so special and feel so great and add such meaning to life is because you do find these few people in your life that you can really be yourself with on a soul level and connect with. And you're never going to do that if you're presenting them with fake personality and gamesmanship and manipulation. And these people can sound noble when they're giving this advice, but it's not noble advice because it's all a form of gamesmanship and calculation and manipulation. And the more aware I've become of this recently, the more I see it and the more I realize that the vast, vast majority of the advice people are giving and taking is some version of that. And that's awful. And again, you can't just parse it out and say, well, it's only social media and what have you, because again, the vast, vast majority of people are tapped into some form of app. People complain about the media and CNN and MSNBC. There's 1,000 times more people on apps consuming this type stuff than there has ever been watching a CNN or even in their greatest day, in their peakest of primes, it was 1,000-to-1 ratio. So it is ever present, or whatever that better word is that means ever present that I can't think of at the moment. All right, real quick, I want to talk about masculinity and femininity, because if anything comes up with advice, first of all, everyone's got a show or a podcast now. Everyone has them and their girlfriends or them and their dude friends sitting around a table going, bro, if a chick does this and she texts you this and this and that and this. And again, they're all projecting their bullshit. Not only are they projecting their bullshit, they're all parroting each other and saying the same exact shit. If you took these women that sit in these groups around the table having these combos, if you said, John, stare at them all for an hour and then pick them out of a lineup from each other, I couldn't, because they all have the same face and demeanor and expressions and say the same thing, because none of these people are presenting their authentic anything. And they're all going, if you want to be in your femininity, here's what you have to do, and this is how you have to approach. It's like, bro, just be yourself. Be yourself, be yourself, be yourself. Go be the healthiest, most normal version of yourself. Everyone's different. Everyone's going to click with somebody. You know, you hear these people saying how, I actually heard somebody giving this advice explicitly. And again, this is kind of the underlying subtext of all the advice, but he was basically explicitly saying in this case that your authentic self may suck and people don't want to be around you. Therefore, you have to take these steps to make yourself more likable and to get people to do these things that you want them to do. And again, look, these are all my own personal opinions and assessments, and I don't pretend to know anything. A lot of people may disagree with me, but in my personal opinion and assessment, pretty much nobody's authentic personality, authentic selves, authentic souls sucks. The reason that they suck and aren't fun to be around is because I would argue they're so far not in touch with their authentic selves. Those are by far the most difficult people to be around. I talked about it last week. There are some people with some really severe issues and things like that, but when they are authentically well-intentioned and good-hearted and all that kind of stuff, they're still so easy to be around. People that know themselves, issues and behavior and all that aside, are the easiest to be around. That goes, now look, there's people with severe issues and personality disorders and all kinds of things that come into play. So that can be a big factor, but even that, is that your authentic self? So when you're telling somebody, hey, your authentic self, therefore, take this step, do this manipulation, all the advice that should be given to that person is go work on yourself. Don't start employing and deploying all these tactics toward other people, but you skip the whole foundation. You don't even know who you are, or you do and you're ashamed of it, and maybe you just have to drop all that shame and ego and unhealthy pride and all the stuff that's preventing you. Maybe you're just trying to fit into some mold. You look around, you say, oh, these people are doing this and I should be doing, but that's not what you're into. Again, yeah, everyone should be inspired by everyone if it's something you're into, right? Let's say I want to be a novelist, okay? I could look to other novelists and go, this guy writes how I like to write. He's so inspiring. I can read other people's books, use that as inspiration, motivation, not only as an art form, but these people achieve something that in my heart I want to achieve. So I can look at them and use that for inspiration. But if I'm a novelist and everyone in my circle's going crazy about fashion, am I going to just now be like, well, I mean, this is a stupid example, right? But you don't want to look at what other people are into. It's any sort of gauge for what you should be into. The magic of it is that not everyone is for everyone. Forget romantic relationships. Look at just friendships. I was talking to my friend about this the other day. We were having this long text combo. If you saw some of the combos with somebody, you'd think I was an insane person. But that was the point. I go, if anyone read this, they would think we were crazy. But I thought to myself, I go, look how easy it is when you just jive with somebody, when you just click with somebody, and then you see these people giving advice. Here's how to text your boyfriend. You don't, as a woman, you don't want to initiate this and embrace your, but allow the man to initiate this type of text. You want to send this type of text, but then you want to wait at least a day or two. And then if he doesn't reply this way, you want to reply this way. And that one, I thought, imagine sitting there doing these calculations with someone that you just jive with. If I was texting with someone and it felt awkward and stunted and or whatever, if it just wasn't, I would go, okay, that person's not for me. We don't jive. We don't click. If someone's for you, the texting, that'll be the easiest part. You're going to have a nice, easy, flowy conversation. Even if someone's not a great conversationalist, but again, if you say to someone, hey, work on being a better conversationalist, well, that's not an external form of manipulation. That is a good example of work on yourself. If you wanted to give someone advice on a first date and shit like that, it should all be based around, yeah, how do you be less nervous? How do you allow yourself to just come out more? It's not how do you present this false thing to this person to manipulate them into liking you. Why the fuck would you want to do that? If you can't just naturally jive with them. Now, if your issue is, and this is the type of stuff I could relate to more than anything, if your issue is that you're too closed off and you have all these weird anxieties and things, and it's hard for you to get out of yourself and feel comfortable in certain situations, well, that's stuff you can work on all alone. You don't have to start maneuvering people around. I really do believe there are people for everybody. Look at just the wide array of stuff. Look at, because I'm going to get into masculinity and femininity. And before we went insane with society and all these crazy constructs we're doing today, there's always been, ever since I was born, a wide array. Somebody brought up Mick Jagger the other day. Like, there's a wide spectrum of human behavior and activity. And generally speaking, I'm a big believer in men should be men, women should be women. We are vastly different, generally speaking, aside from all those exceptions that really do go in some crazy direction. Fine. Generally speaking, there are some constant biological male traits and some constant biological female traits that do not change and that should not be denied. And see that, okay, that's the problem. That's what took us down this counter-reactionary backlash path where now both sides have gone crazy with it, which is, it started with the whole feminism thing. And look, in case it doesn't go without saying, I have no issues with women, anything. Everyone should feel empowered and great and do whatever they want in life. Everyone should do whatever makes them happy. My God. You'll never hear me say, women shouldn't wife. A woman wants to get up at 5 a.m. and go do a construction job because it feels great to her to be outside with a hammer. And she also is a lesbian. Fine. I love it. I love it. If that's her deal, that's her deal. I don't care. Everyone should be happy. It's the part where everybody imposes their other shit onto other people. And by the way, it's not even them necessarily imposing it. It's always people imposing it on other people's behalfs. But here's the problem. The feminism started this whole deconstruction of gender. It was no longer that men and women should be treated the same. It's men and women are the same. And you can't conflate that like that because men and women are largely not the same. And without getting into all, if there's one thing I don't want to do on here, it's be repetitive of a lot of the conversation and debate that I hear. So I'm not going to get into a whole thing on men playing in women's sports and sharing bathrooms and prisons and all that kind of stuff. I'll leave that to the 20,000 other talking heads that are discussing those issues. And you could probably figure out how I feel about a lot of it in any case. But my point in bringing this up is that it caused a counter-reactionary backlash on the other side. It grew the Andrew Tates and all these self-proclaimed alpha relationship guru guys because, for several reasons. One, if you're removing this construct and you're saying men can be women and women can be men and everything else, and then you're saying, well, now we have, instead of two pronouns, we have 32 pronouns and everything else, then nothing means anything anymore. And like I talked about before, everyone wants to be cool now, right? Everyone wants to be edgy. The ironic thing is when it comes to these type movements is, and the ironic thing when it comes to a lot of this type stuff is, people are doing certain things in the name of individual freedom, individual behavior, and they're saying, I'm expressing myself, but in reality, they're doing the complete opposite. They're just latching on to this newest trend, the newest thing that other people are saying is cool and edgy. So now, rather than having a normally biologically occurring percentage of the population that would be gay or effeminate or masculine, whether they're technically the opposite sex. Well, now you have people voluntarily saying, "Well, I want to join that group because look how cool they are, look at all the attention they're getting and everything else." So that started happening a while ago. And then the other side became reactionary to that. And as men, here's the thing. Men started being shamed for being just naturally masculine in a healthy way. Healthy levels of masculinity became, there was no word toxic masculinity. What does that even mean? Yes, like guys act like fucking assholes sometimes, especially when we're young. It's still 99% of that stuff is still just kind of naturally occurring. Obviously, you shouldn't be assaulting anyone or anything else. And if, you know, back in the 50s, you could grab a waitress's ass and assault your secretary and all that stuff, and nobody cared. That's fucking terrible. And I'm glad that stuff went away. I was talking to somebody recently about, I always say, obviously, people are going to be nostalgic for when they come up, but I always say how, you know, there was really, and listen, an older guy confirmed this. We had a combo online the other day. There really was a sweet spot in society from like mid 80s to early 2000s. It was like post Cold War, because the earlier gens, they had World War II, they had Korea, they had Vietnam. Berlin Wall comes down. You never had a more popular president at the time. You got all this peace and just an explosion of culture and movies and music, and people were just kind of having fun. And for the first time, it really did feel like a lot of the real civil rights issues had all been settled and accomplished long before. When I was a kid, 80s, 90s, early, I never felt there was sexism and racism and things like that. Not at the levels that I see it even today, because of this crazy reactionary thing where everybody's analyzing and parsing apart and conflating things and going crazy with stuff they were never talking about before. Nobody was talking about race back then. Nobody was talking about, no one gave a shit about gender. It really was a sweet spot. It was like you could finally, if you were gay and you wanted to have a boyfriend, you could have a boyfriend. You know, everybody was just kind of chilling and accepting each other. And I would say when it comes to even something like gender roles and what is masculinity and what is femininity and all that, go back to what it was in 1999. That's what I would tell people. Go back to what it was in 1994. That would be my advice. If you weren't alive back then, you know, you can't relate. But for someone that was around, I would say, let's just treat it fucking all like it's 1994. Because did anyone have a problem back then with any of this stuff? Were people sitting there having these conversations about, if you want to embrace your masculinity and your femininity, and this is what it means to be a man and a leader, and this is the steps you have to take, and this isn't what an alpha is, and this is what a, what's the other one now? They always, a sigma is, and when did we start labeling everything and putting everyone into boxes, and you're this thing and you're that thing, and this is what you're supposed to do, and this is what you're supposed to do, and you do this and you do that. And if your group thinks this thing, well, you have to think this thing. And if they think that, you have to think that. You're not allowed to stray and think your own thing or the lie. The fuck? That to me just really gets at the essence of what's wrong with society. If I had to look around and say, what's the number one problem with society? It's that. It's that people are no longer just willing to embrace who they are themselves, embrace the fact that maybe they don't know everything, that maybe they're not the coolest person in the world, that maybe they can learn shit that strays outside of what they're supposed to think or the box they're supposed to be in. And why are we just picking every little thing apart? We're picking and prodding at things that you shouldn't be picking or prodding at. To me, the masculinity, femininity thing requires like two sentences. Men and women are biologically different, period. Next sentence, there will be some slight variations to that on both ends of the equation, period. That's it. Embrace it. Men got shamed. And when you shame these men for just being, again, normal, healthy levels of masculine that we've been forever. Again, there was a time. That's why I say we finally got to a sweet spot. And then we had to just tinker with everything. Because when you start shaming men, it goes two directions. A lot of us just stay who we are, ideally, right? We don't let that affect us in either way. But a lot of dudes, you shame them and they go, oh, you're right. I am too masculine. And everyone is gender fluid now. And forgive me. And they act all ashamed by it. They accept your shaming. Then the other dudes, and I don't even blame them. That's what I'm saying. They go in the other direction. Well, I'm with Andrew Tate now because fuck you guys. What you're telling me is bullshit. And I'm an alpha. And I don't put up with it. And everyone should just have remained, like I say about all this stuff, like I say about all these ideologies. And this is where I think that the idea that we have these computers in our pockets really has changed things in a deep way, which is that everyone has to belong to a camp now, and that everyone has to seem the coolest and the hippest and the most knowing and the most edgy and the most set in their ways. Because again, God forbid you seem like you don't know something, or you're still trying to figure it out for yourself, or I'm not sure how I feel about this issue that I see people killing each other over every day. Let me just sit back and make my own personal assessments. I don't have to be in a box. I don't have to be part of some camp. And let me just also say, when it comes to men specifically, and this be masculine message, I was reminded talking to another friend recently of just how bottled up men are and how much we really do hold stuff inside of us. And any advice or guidance that doesn't steer someone toward opening up and releasing things, I'm going to just assume is terrible advice, and that person is either dumb or has an agenda. And as a guy, you don't want to be emotionally erratic and unhinged, but people conflate these things all day. There's a reason that men kill themselves 10 times more often than women kill themselves. And again, women probably don't want to be emotionally unhinged and erratic either, but women are much more willing to sit down with someone they love, whether it be a spouse, parent, sibling, therapist, you name it, and open up and vent and release some of that stuff. Just talking about men for a minute, think of masculinity in this sense. Think about, first of all, you want to talk about suicide. Who kills themselves more than anyone is veterans, combat veterans. Who's tougher than those guys, right? Who's tougher than a combat veteran? So like, and I know that's an extreme example, but it's the most common example, and it really drives the point home, which is you can't out-tough inner conflict. You cannot. You're not going to out-masculine some shit that you have buried down deep in you. Yes, you can push through it in short bursts. Yes, you could go through your whole life that way and just keep pushing and resisting and pushing and resisting and pushing and resisting. And I'd say probably the majority of people do that. You're never going to beat that thing into submission. You can't out-masculine certain things. There's a reason that these combat vets who've seen their friends die and have killed people and seen the most horrific things that anybody could ever see, there is a reason that they can't even stand to live anymore. The only way that you defeat inner conflict is by opening up and releasing it. And if you think that's not masculine to do, then you're a fucking lunatic. And if you use the gauge of what's easier and what's harder, what requires strength and what's weakness? If you want to define masculinity as strength versus weakness in just those black and white basic terms, then apply it that way. If I'm a dude and I have some really painful thing inside, what's easier for me to just hold it in and not open up and release it? Because that feels way easier. Or does it take a lot more strength and courage to be able to open up and talk to somebody and let all that stuff out, right? That requires a lot of strength. Think about how hard that feels. Think about how hard as a man that fucking feels. That's the hardest feeling ever. And look, there is a big distinction between wallowing in your feelings and thinking you're feeling your feelings when you're just kind of wallowing in your pain. And that's still a form of resistance. It's still a form of denying what you're actually feeling. So you'd be sitting there going, well, I am sad. I'm not denying my feelings. Look how sad I am. And you tell people, well, I'm so sad. And you go around talking to people about why you're sad. That's not what I'm talking about. Not that that's always necessarily, it's better to talk to someone than talk to no one, especially if you are in that kind of state and you do feel despair. Yeah, talk to anyone. But that's not necessarily the process of actually opening up and releasing things. And I think a lot of those people that feel that despair is because they are so out of touch with the thing that's really eating at them. And then it's manifesting into their life in this completely different way. And then they allow it to take over their relationships and the dynamics of their interactions with people. And that's where it becomes detrimental. And then people look at these external things and they start applying things where they don't exist. And they think that the reason this is going this way or that way is because of, but it's not. It's almost always the internal conflict, the internal struggle. That's why, again, with the relationship, same thing. Fix what's in here, figure out how to fix what's in here, and then the rest, I do believe, will be as it should be. Without even getting spiritual or any of that stuff, I believe that more deeply than I believe anything. So when it comes to a lot of this, be masculine, be feminine advice, I think a lot of it is misconstrued and sends people in the wrong directions. And it reinforces the idea that we're supposed to just keep bottling stuff inside. And listen, I saw an interview the other day on a pod. If I see a guy, let's say being interviewed on a pod, who's been through a really difficult thing, and he opens up on that pod in an emotional way, in an emotionally honest way, my reaction to seeing that guy is never, what a girly thing to do. Right? What a girly thing to do, to show emotion to the world like that and talk about something that's deep inside you and so personal and painful to you. I always think, wow, what a tough motherfucker that he was able to do that, because it's so hard. And if you're a guy, you know what I'm talking about. You know how hard that feels? So no, I'm not down with the just straight stoicism and everything else. That said, there's huge, huge differences between men and women. And there is such a thing as being just naturally manly and being just naturally girly or feminine. And that's really, truly where the magic is. And that's why these love relationships work so well. That's why when it really comes together properly, yeah. But you're not going to have to sit there and deconstruct it again. If I'm a dude and I'm comfortable in who I am, and I'm comfortable with my masculinity, and I'm not ashamed and everything else, and there's this girl, and she's comfortable in her ways and everything. And by the way, even when people are not their healthiest selves, that they're still going to click naturally. You meet people all the time. Forget relationships, forget romance. You guys know what I'm talking about. There are people you meet in life, and you just flow with them. You just jive with them. They become your people. They're easy to talk to. You would never think about your person. Think about your couple people like that in your life. Forget your girlfriend, spouse. You can include them too. Think about whoever, the people you actually enjoy, those couple people that you really enjoy talking to. Imagine doing those kind of calculations and stuff with them. Any advice I see about relationships where it says, here's how to text and this, I already shut you off. There is no here's how. There's, in my opinion, be yourself, and your peoples are your peoples. That's it. That's not element. It's in a sense just way more advanced than all your calculative bullshit. It gets at something much deeper and much more meaningful than any of your surface nonsense, because none of your surface nonsense factors in the fact that we're here and we're alive and we exist and we have consciousness. And this is all just some big wondrous blessing of souls. And even without that, you can just see it. And it was always the case. And we just started deconstructing it all. And relationship advice in general, like I said, there's no cookie cutter. This is that. They're all projecting from their own experience. They're all advising you based on their own weird insecure. And again, if stuff bleeds through, then it bleeds through. But yeah, I would just remove all the stigmas and connotations and weirdness and even the thought about. Don't even be sitting there thinking about what is masculine and what is feminine. And don't even get yourself caught up in those weeds. Just go, what feels good to me? If you're a guy, you know what it feels like to be masculine. You just know. So just don't be ashamed of it. Just embrace it. Don't let people on one side shame you into thinking it's somehow toxic. And don't let people on the other side make you think you're not being masculine enough because I'm not some alpha that wants some chick to get down on her knees and make me a fucking sandwich. I mean, I would enjoy both of those things, but to make that your personality, just be yourself. Stop looking around and trying to figure out what other people want you to be and what society wants you to be, or what some potential girl you never met yet is going to want you to be. She's going to want you to be yourself. She's going to want you to feel easy to be around. If you're a guy, I'll speak more to the dude. I listen, and women, they got their own thing. I'll do a woman segment too. No, really, if you're a guy and you're lonely and you're looking for some woman, stop sitting there thinking, what would she want? Again, just be the thing. Be the thing you would want, right? Just look at yourself and say, am I in touch with who I am? Do I feel conflicted about myself? Do I feel healthy? Am I still carrying pain and baggage from other stuff? Have I healed from that? Have I opened up and released all the weird shit that's inside of me that's going to affect? Figure that stuff out first. I'm not saying that there's never any relationship advice that maybe, but it's very few and far between, and it doesn't really apply even with married couples and stuff. I'm a much bigger believer that, you know, both people should be doing personal therapy more than this marriage therapy. You should each make a list and then come back to your husband or wife with this list in a week and read them off and this and that. Listen, if each person really fixed themselves to break those walls down that are preventing them, you shouldn't need somebody to tell you to make a list. You should be able to discuss those things with your person. Either they're not right for you, right? Because you guys can't have those conversations because it is always disjointed and awkward. And even as your authentic selves, you're just not the right people for each other. So you're trying to force something through gamesmanship and manipulation. You're never going to force that square into the circle. So that's really common. But then also really common is people just have all these walls and they have all this inner conflict. And then they're going, well, here, as a couple, what should we be doing with each other? Well, you should each be fixing yourselves by yourselves and saying, this is why I'm carrying this shit. Maybe you're carrying it from 10 years ago, 20 years ago, when you were a kid. You're carrying that your whole life. And then she's buried under some whole other thing that has nothing to do with you. And now you're both kind of taking each other's stuff personally and you're intermingling all each other's issues that have nothing to do with each other. And now you're applying these weird methods. You should just be able to breathe, be yourself, come in as yourself. And people can assist and facilitate each other in doing that. But yeah, and listen, and whether it's therapy or that's another one too. I see a lot of guys, they think therapy in general is a feminine thing to do or whatever. Look, if you're a dude and you're carrying around a lot of shit in you and you don't have one or two people that you can really sit and open up with, I think for me, that's always felt like, and I've done therapy at different times throughout my life, that's always felt like the biggest benefit to me by far. Much less about the advice, do this, do that. I didn't even want advice. I wanted to be able to sit and just remove any ego and pride and shame that I would have felt with people in my life saying certain things and just be able to look in the eye of another intelligent human that I could connect with and say these things and have them understand it and say some stuff back and get into a conversation. That alone, it's much deeper than a venting. That is the release of it. People don't realize because we have these internal voices in our heads. A lot of us do. Apparently like 40% of the population doesn't have an internal dialogue, which blows my mind that people don't have a voice going on in their head all day. But a lot of us think because of that voice and because we are ruminating all day and overthinking about all that, we think that we are facing our emotions and delve, but there's such a difference. It's an actual physical release of something. So listen, if people are in therapy, I think it's great. A lot of people are in therapy for the wrong reasons. A lot of therapists do therapy for the wrong reasons. I think most therapists are not good. I think it's hard to find a good one, just like anything. Just like if you want a good attorney or a surgeon or anything else, I think most of every profession, the majority of most professions are not great at what they do, but I think you can find that good one. And again, nothing's a one-size-fits-all. Even a relationship like that, a therapist relationship, you're going to jive with some people you're not going to, that's okay. There is no cookie cutter. I want to get so far away from putting people into these labels and boxes. And the idea that the people that started putting everybody into all the labels and boxes, the irony that any of that is being done in the name of like individual freedom and stuff is just so bizarre to me. All they've done is just constricted and confused everybody and turned everyone against each other. And now everybody's going in all kinds of crazy directions. You do have a lot of men acting too feminine and women acting too masculine in an inauthentic way. Again, if it's authentic to who you are, I think a lot of guys are born naturally kind of just feminine dudes. There's always been very masculine women. Again, look at the softball team or the golf squad or whatever. I'm not trying to be mean by saying something like that. It's a real thing. It's always happened. But it's the people doing it inauthentically. If you're a dude and you're acting feminine because you think you're supposed to, or you've been shamed into doing that, or society's telling you this weird thing, well, that ain't good. And same with the way, it's always just going to come back to, are you being authentic to yourself? Do you really feel that way? And I was reminded yesterday of something I used to always say, which is that if you could take one of these weird issues that you think there's no way people really believe this, it's such a virtue signal. I think that's true. I think if you went to forgetting the people who embrace it for themselves, I was talking about a second ago, think about all the people that are actually perpetuating this stuff. Yeah, if you went door to door and hooked these people up to a lie detector and you said, this thing is foolproof, it will know if you're lying and it will chop your leg off if you tell a lie. Do you really believe XYZ? No. 90% of people don't believe it in their heart of hearts, but they're conforming to it. Or again, they've been shamed into it, or they just want to be able to seem virtuous to other people. And they go, well, what's the flavor of the day to seem virtuous? And then on the other side, you have people going the opposite direction as a knee jerk to that. And they're going, fuck you guys, we're not taking any of your stuff. And then they're taking it way too far past where the healthy levels are as well. And then you end up with these people looking around going, did everybody go crazy? Everyone went crazy. You just stop looking around and worrying about who's judging you or accepting you or validating you or thinking that this is the box you belong in and this is the thing you're supposed to think. Like, remove that whole part from the entire thing. Stop doing math on shit that has nothing to do with you. I guarantee 99.9% of the stuff you're seeking is already inside you. And then if you feel at peace with yourself, you're going to know what you want. You're going to know who and what you gravitate toward. You're going to understand what's naturally meant for you and what's not meant for you. Stop trying to force things based on other people's ideas and concepts of how it's supposed to be. That doesn't work for anybody. Find yourself, find your soul, find your heart. Release the painful stuff, release the conflict, release the false beliefs, release that fucking baggage you've been carrying around since you were a baby. Love yourself, accept yourself, be kind to yourself, be patient with yourself. That's what all the advice should be centered around. That's the energy that should be the foundation of any advice people take. There are other specific things people can do, yes, but that's got to be the energy of it. And then, you know, like I keep saying from last week, be the thing you want to see in the world. If you're looking around and thinking that you need this other thing and that this is what should be or whatever, then just be that yourself. Who cares what other people are doing and saying and judging and accepting and validating? Who cares? I say who cares as I keep talking about it. But again, I'm talking about it in the sense of dispelling it. I am self-anointing myself as the anti-advice guy. All my advice is don't take their advice. Just listen to me. No, but I'm not even telling you specific steps to take. If I ever start telling you specific manipulative things to do, when it comes to people, I'll give you that advice when it comes to negotiating. I'll give you that advice for even dealing with assholes on social media, which is a listener topic, which I need to get to, and stuff like that, for sure. You can apply gamesmanship all day with that kind of stuff. When it comes to your personal journey, when it comes to your life, it's you and the universe. It's between you and God. Only God can judge me now. Only God can judge me now. It's true. Stop worrying. Stop thinking you need to fit anyone else's mold of what your personal journey would be, what your true energy is. And the people that you gravitate toward and jibe with, just accept it. Stop being ashamed. I said recently, if I could implement anything into society, it would be to make people just feel less ashamed of themselves. Because I think that's responsible for all this stuff. It's responsible for all this inner conflict, that paralyzes and debilitates people from being what they want to be and achieving what they want to achieve and being their true selves. And then also it causes all this kind of projection and lashing out at each other too. It's like, and I don't know if everyone can fit. The minute I see people having certain types of arguments in real life, online, you name it, within 2 seconds, I'm like, oh, they're projecting their insecurities onto each other. That's all they're doing. It's like, this person just seems so ashamed that they're just lashing out at this other person, and that other person, and everyone's just, whereas if they just kind of went back to their corners and made themselves more healed and healthy, they'd never have been having that interaction in the first place. And they think that that vitriolic interaction is about one thing, but it's not. They're both expressing their own personal bullshit onto each other. So yeah, I want to get to these listener topics. So I would just say that as it applies to all things, as you look at all conflicts externally, internally, everything, just think to yourself, am I being true to who I am? Is this how I really feel? Is this what I really believe? Is this what I really want for myself, for my life's journey, for my soul? And if it's not consistent with that, don't do it. You may not have the answer. There may not be an alternate in your head yet, but don't do the thing that's inconsistent with what's inside you. Whether it's a relationship, whether it's this passion project, anything that's meaningful to you, if it's not consistent with that, don't do it. Search inside yourself. And I think we find the answers there, and we do the thing that does feel right and consistent. All right. Listener topics. I'm going to actually combine 3 of these into one answer rant because they're kind of similar to each other. And guys, yeah, listen, hit me up on Twitter, and you can email me johncatsshow@gmail.com. Anything you want me to talk about. If you want to stay anonymous, not have me see your name, just say you want to be anonymous. My girl Aggie Reekin said, talk about politics in a polite society. Curly Sue said, how to handle hate-filled people. And Tiffany said, the trouble with Twitter. So I'm going to combine those because politics and polite society, how to handle hateful people, and the trouble with Twitter all kind of go hand in hand for me. Even though there are some distinctions there. Yeah, I don't think you can have these days, it doesn't seem like you can have politeness and politics at the same time. It's too tribal. It's too divisive. It's too vitriolic. I don't even want to discuss it anymore. If I'm out at dinner with family or friends, I don't want to talk about it. What's the point? You're not, first of all, there is a place and time for people to have intellectually honest combos about stuff that there is some nuance with, and they're willing to accept and understand each other's points, but that's rare, and that's really, for me, reserved for a certain place and time. It's all over social media and Twitter now. Obviously, the last decade or so, the political discourse, it became a whole new thing that it never was and never could have been before, and it's really something that people, I believe, will eventually adjust to, but I think we're in this weird transitionary period where everyone's just kind of going crazy with it. And like I talked about before, the tribal, everyone looks around, just like I was talking about in the last topic, everyone looks around with the political stuff and they go, what am I supposed to think, right? Nobody's just thinking for themselves anymore. It's, what does my team think? Well, that's the line that I have to toe. And I think a lot of people actually do convince themselves that they believe that thing. It's not even such a surface thing anymore where they're just going, well, what does this team tell me to say? So I'm going to pretend. I think a lot of people, now with the other crazy stuff I said, if you go door to door 90%, some of this other stuff, yeah, no, I don't think so. I think a good majority of people, when it comes to certain issues, they would pass the lie detector. Now, I think they could still be deprogrammed. I think they've been hypnotized into believing a lot of these political topics, right? Because in their heart of hearts, had they just gone down a normal path where they hadn't been bombarded with all this misinformation, they never would have gotten to that place. So I think they still could deprogram themselves and come up with something deeper inside them that they actually believe. But yeah, I think they passed the lie detector. I think everyone looks around and goes, what does my team think? And then it's the echo chamber and it's the confirmation bias. And immediately, it really is the confirmation bias. It's like the documentary I watched the other day where the cops just honed in on this innocent guy. once you get in your head that this is what I'm supposed to believe and this is the thing, you're just looking for that. You're looking for that everywhere. So, Tiffany, I would say that's the main trouble with Twitter is the tribalism and the divisiveness and this group herd mentality and just the lack of individual and authentic and genuine thought. I'm not anti-social media or any of that stuff. And I'll say again, I think it's actually good for a lot of young people. I think it's good for a lot of, talking about feeling isolated and alone and those kind of things. I think a lot of young people do feel that way. And it's nice for them, I'm sure, to be able to connect with like-minded people all over the world who are into, whether they're into rocket ships or dinosaurs or you name it, they can get online and discuss black holes with this group chat of black hole people, all, and it's satisfying to them and it's meaningful to them and it's something they're passionate about. And maybe in their small town of Nebraska somewhere, they don't have those people and the kids in their grade think they're a weirdo. And so for me, there's endless benefit that comes from human connect, because I think everything's connected anyway, and it's really allowed us to connect. And I think we do evolve to a point where the benefit begins to outweigh the bad stuff that we're talking about right now. Because yeah, people do have so much internal conflict and they're all projecting it. And again, everyone just wants to seem the coolest and the most cynical. And there's just so much LARPing, live action role playing. People are playing a role on there. That's, you're talking about, again, being your authentic self. That's something that's taken them so far. They're jumping on there with an avatar. They want to rile people up. They need attention. They're miserable in their own lives. They don't know how to not be miserable. And they want to go online and be as divisive as possible and have drama with people. And it gives them some sort of false dopamine energy, whatever it is. And you could scoff it off. And I do often. And I say, look, if you look around in real life, you would never know that's going on. But yeah, these people are trying to LARP themselves into a civil war on all sides. It's like the right LARPers are reacting to the crazy left LARPers, and everybody's just pretending to be this thing they're not, and they're focusing their energy on these handful of political issues that aren't even really affecting them in real life. And if they wanted to deal with their inner conflict and all the stuff that's going on inside, it would have nothing to do with these topics that they're manifesting that energy into. It's really insane when you think about it in that sense. Aggie said, how do you have politeness? How are politics in a polite society? I'd never use the word polite to describe what I see online. And that's the thing, like, you want to be polite. If you want other people to be polite, you know, you have to be. I feel like I'm not tooting my own horn. I feel like I'm a pretty polite person. You'll almost never see me personally attack and be vitriolic. And if anything, here's why too, because even if someone said something deeply disgusting and offensive toward me, and I've had that, whether it be about, I've had stuff, or if I see stuff about Jewish people, it gets to me a bit because all the crazy, I'm gonna do a whole episode on that as well. Oh, listen, I'm not the voice for Jews over here, but yeah, a lot of that stuff bothers me. There's a lot of real hatred out there. And again, I can't relate necessarily, but I look around at my friends and family who are Jewish, and I say, the stuff that's being said about how am I not supposed to feel? But again, I would never, ever, ever give that person the satisfaction of having, have I done it before? Yeah. Have I had once, twice a year, will I get into a 4-hour debate with some stupid avatar across the world? I've done it. Okay. It's been a long time. I've done it. 99% of the time I don't. And here's why also, because if you really, that's what they're seeking. Why would you ever, they want that drama, right? Why would you give them what they're seeking? And if you really want to piss somebody off anyway, let's say somebody really is a complete dickhead, you do it by being dismissive and you pat them on the head and you just make them feel like an idiot. That person is way more triggered if you're just kind of quickly and even sweetly a condescending dickhead, right? With the connotation of, go on your way, kid. I feel bad for you. Like, I pray for you. I hope you figure it out. They hate that. They hate that more than anything. They want you to come at them with the ad hominems and name calling and engage in the stupid debate. That's what they're feeding off of. That's why they're on there trolling with their stupid avatar in the first place. So for people who don't want that energy, if you're asking me, if you're on social media and you don't want, don't engage it. Don't engage it ever. Now, I don't know. Are these people really hate-filled in their hearts? Are they really hateful people? I don't think so. I think there's a lot of conflicted people, and I think being behind that screen gives them this sense of detachment where they can act out. I think they want to scream and they want to cry, and they don't know how to address why they feel so miserable in their own lives. And this becomes an outlet where they go, hey, I can get on here and I can just argue with people all day and express these hateful things. And I don't believe most of them believe it in their hearts. I think some do, but there's a lot of hateful stuff going around. My assessment of human behavior and emotion and all that, I don't find... Listen, they're not authentic. Back to the basis of this whole thing, the basis of the last episode and everything else. It doesn't strike me as authentic behavior either. It strikes me as LARPing and trolling and trying to rile people up because you're projecting all this internal crap. So yeah, you can be a sweet, kind person even when other people aren't. It doesn't make you weak. If anything, again, it triggers them more. If someone's an asshole to you and you're kind of sweet and kind and kind, even without the hard condescension, if someone's a dickhead to you and you reply to them in a kind of a sweet, kind, I'm above that kind of connotation, which I guess is kind of condescending toward them, but just like, hey, spaz, you know, relax over there, spaz crazy person. They hate that. They hate that the most. And again, if you're a kind, sweet person and you don't engage in conflict, if it's something that matters to you, yes, fight with your life. So if you're in danger, if someone's trying to take something that is yours or damage something that's yours or damage your life in a real way or anything of that nature or rip you off. If you go to get your car, take your car. If this guy's trying to rip you off, yes, stand up for yourself in all those types of things. Yes, 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 all day. When it comes to people that don't matter to you, when it comes to some troll online, when it comes to some, even a person that you know and maybe in your family, if they're trying to intentionally irk or trigger you or antagonize you or something, they're picking a fight. You can tell when someone's trying to pick a fight with you and they're doing that on purpose. Why would you give them that thing? So it's not weak. If you're a guy, it's not feminine to be sweet and send someone on their way, even if they're being a dickhead. Because why would you let other people's behavior get you out of character? That's weak. That's feminine to me. If you're a dude and some dude says something to you online and you fly off the handle with some diatribe ripping this guy's life apart, that comes off weak and feminine to me way more than if you just kind of rise above it, either ignore it completely or say something short and sweet, you know, even kind of humorous that puts them in their place way more than you would have with your emotional diatribe. Yeah, I guess I take it back to that even with this stuff, just be yourself. Just be true to yourself. So if you're not hate-filled, then don't latch on to other people's hate. If you're not angry, don't latch on to other people's anger. Why are you taking up causes that aren't true to who you are? What's that going to serve you? And how's that going to serve your life's journey? Again, you be the thing. You be the content you want to see. Why be anything you're not, good or bad? Because it's what others want. It's what others want to see. It's what others think you should be doing because you want to validate yourself somehow. And again, good. If it's true to you, good. If you're a piano player, then yeah, be into other piano players who are great at it and look at them and kind of say, how did they do it? What are they doing? That's good stuff. That's inspiration. That's encouraging. But don't pick some negative thing that you're not even internally passionate about and make it your whole personality and then just get online and argue all day with people about it. Yeah, even with stuff that you may think is positive, don't pretend to be into something just because it seems to be what other people think is cool. Why would you do that? I mean, I get why people do it. Obviously, everyone wants to fit into something. Everyone wants to be understood. And the people really, we don't. Our whole life is spent figuring out really who we are, and we don't know. And I guess my point is, since we all don't know, and since we're all figuring it out, the last thing you want to do is start looking in the wrong directions. And I know I got a little far away from that original topic, but thank you, Aggie and Curly Sue and Tiffany, for sending your questions. I really do appreciate you guys. I got one from Gemini Girl on Twitter. She was saying, this is an interesting one. I don't know if I've ever talked about this. She said, can men and women just be friends? Let me just first say, I'm not the relationship authority on anything. So when it comes to all this, again, I don't know. I don't know what fits everybody. I can only speak from me personally. I can only offer my personal opinions and assessments of what I see out there. So I'm not advising anyone to do anything. But yeah, can men, yes, of course, I think they can. Is it also commonly a recipe for disaster? Yes, of course, it's obviously caused a gazillion breakups throughout human history and a million other problems. So I would say, can it? Yes. Is it probably more the exception than the rule? Yes. But again, more than anything, there is no one size fits all. When it comes to romantic, because you're saying, can men and women be friends? And I think you probably mean more like, can men and women who are in other relationships be friends? Because that's where it really causes a problem. Can a single guy and a single girl be friends? Yeah, much more easily, because you're not going to be causing problems with someone else going, why are you hanging out with this dude or why are you hanging out with this girl? But at the same time, if you meant it like, can they be friends without there being some sort of sexual... Look, as far as guys, I think girls, here's the thing. I think women can this is something I'll really credit women with. They can much more easily be friends with a guy than a guy can be friends with them. That's the truth. And a lot of those guys, a lot of these friendships started because either one or both people were interested in the first place and it didn't work out. Maybe they did date a couple times and they just became friends. They didn't have the romantic chemistry. Maybe they didn't date at all. One was hitting on the other. It just, they friend zoned each other and they became friends. But in most of those friendships, I would say the guy in particular would probably have sex with that girl. Not saying he's into her and he'd want to marry her and he's secretly in love with her. There's some of that too. And there's some of that in the opposite direction too. Again, I generalize everybody. These are my personal observations. I think most of those guys would accept a blowjob from that friend if offered. And that's just kind of the way dudes are wired. And dudes generally are going to be friends with girls that they kind of at least find a bit attractive. Not always. Here's where I'd say most friendships don't really fall into those weird, awkward categories and don't get in the way of relationships as much. Work people, I think coworkers and such, you can actually become friends with a coworker where they're, because now, or back in the day, you know, when we were in school, I had a ton of friends who were girls where there was no sort of attraction or flirtation. And it's the same kind of relationship I've had with coworkers, because it's a rare thing where now you're spending a lot of time with somebody and it didn't form from I was hitting on them or they were hitting on me and it didn't work out, or maybe they're even kind of my ex. There's none of that. It's, well, we worked in the same office for 8 years and they're really my friend, or we sat in the same classroom for a year or two and they really became a close friend. So I think that exists. The other ones that seem to exist a lot without much issue is the couple's friends. So if you are in a relationship and you're both friends with another couple, then I think, yes, the men and women in each relationship also feel like they are really genuine friends with the opposite sex in the other relationship without it feeling weird and conflicted. Now, would you go to dinner? You know, if you have two couple friends with the guy from one marriage and the girl from the other marriage, go have a dinner alone together? Probably not a great lesson. But again, if there's not everything's for everybody, and that's the whole point. If I would say, my personal opinion, if you're in a relationship with somebody, it's what are they comfortable with, and what are you comfortable with, and then establish that early on, because if you think someone's going to change, this came up this topic actually with the, I don't know if you guys heard it, with Jonah Hill. His texts were leaked where he was going on to his surfer girlfriend, how she shouldn't have guy friends and she shouldn't be posting bathing suit photos on Instagram and things like that. And a lot of people kind of fell on both sides of this debate, but somebody said that, or a lot of people were saying he should have, if that's what he wanted, you don't wait till you're deep into a relationship with someone to establish that. So if I was dating a girl and let's say she had a lot of dude friends, legitimate guy friends, and they liked going to lunches and things like that. That's something I'd want to, that's not going to change. Now, maybe, listen, maybe she does think to herself, okay, once I settle down and fall in love with the right person, I'm not going to have all these guy friends, maybe, but I don't know that. Maybe she'll think, well, I always want to have these guy friends. They're my friends for life. And now if I'm as a guy, if that makes me uncomfortable, that she's going to be having lunch with Chad on the weekend, well, I need to say that early on. Like, hey, you know, if we end up in a relationship, because again, you're expressing something honest, that's going to be a problem for me. And she'll say, well, I'm not going to not be friends with Chad. Just, well, then, okay. Then me and her aren't compatible. We don't have the same. Now, maybe I'll think that's great. I want her to have dude friends, and I'm going to have these other girlfriends who I've known forever, and me and them are going to hang out. If that's what you're into, that's what, if both people are authentically, genuinely comfortable with either direction, then that's when it can work. But generally speaking, just proof is in the pudding of the facts and stats. It often ends as a recipe for disaster. And that's either because people didn't clearly establish that stuff in the beginning, and now they are already deep into this thing and they're now have an issue. Why are you still following this girl on Instagram? Why are you liking her pictures? She's my friend from college. We only went on 2 dates and it's nothing like that. We're really friends. And like, you're just having these stupid arguments about stuff that probably doesn't, or people really are sometimes just doing the wrong thing. And they really are attracted to that friend, or they really are doing stuff they shouldn't be doing with that friend. There's a lot of that too. I don't know if that answered your question there, Gemini. So yeah, I would just say in that case, it all comes down, say what you mean, direct, clear, direct communication. What do you feel? What are you comfortable with? Just say it. Not everyone's for everyone. That's the magic. Just say what you mean and feel, period. And listen, a lot of time you say what you mean and feel, again, person might not be for you, so it's not going to jive. But a lot of times, that person still might not hear you. Anyway, even if you do jive, they might not hear you because many of us are just not in that place where we can even properly receive that stuff. We are still so stuck in our own inner conflict. And so, yeah, you got to get at that. Not to bring all you guys' listener topic questions back to my main rant, but like I said last week, that's like you ask my advice for something, it's always going to have that same energy behind it. I'm never going to come in here with some calculated, manipulative answer of how to maneuver people around in a fake way. Yes, just like stop making it about other people's behavior. It's almost always just about what's inside us. And then as it relates to other people's behavior, that's where that stuff, I say manifests all the time, but manifests and comes to fruition. And that's how it plays out. It plays out with other people, but those are the manifestations, not the stuff that's buried on you or the stuff that's authentic to you. I think if you counted up the times I've used the word authentic in the last couple weeks, you probably want to slap me in the face a couple times. All right. Last listener topic coming from Ashley. Ashley wanted me to talk about methods you use to calm your mind, the methods I use to calm my mind. This is a good one. I've actually recently developed more of these because I am someone that can get in rumination mode. And this is the topic of next week I'm going to really delve into. And I have before. I keep saying I'm going to, and who knows, maybe I'll just keep putting it off. But yes, we are almost, if our mind's not calm, if my mind is racing, then it's almost always either it's stuck in the past on something and it's replaying something over and over, the what ifs and the regrets and that, or probably even more commonly, I'm stuck in the future with the anxiety and the worry, whether it's something short term happening tomorrow, whether it's just long term, you're just ruminating on the what ifs and all the future possibilities. In either case, you're not just sitting there in the present and actually living in the present moment, which it is always going to be. The present moment. There is no future. It's a concept that doesn't exist yet. It's just another present moment. Your consciousness is always only in the present moment. And it will always be the present moment. So that above all else, that just kind of that mantra of just understanding and embracing that idea and recognizing you can train your brain and reflexes and knee-jerk reactions and cut them off. I've really become adept at that. And I wish, and maybe I'll try to articulate it better because I wish there was a way I could teach it to people other than to say the more I did it, the more I strengthened that muscle. The more I did it over and over repetitively, the more it became my new kind of default reflex, which is, if my mind is racing about one thing or another, in the past, in the future, what have you, I am able to cut that thought off and kind of understand and recognize that mantra to myself of, okay, in this present moment, John, so now I'm talking to myself, my inner voice, in this present moment, you're not dealing with this thing that your mind's going crazy about, right? That was in the past, or it's something that you're thinking may happen in the future. It almost never has to do with the exact present moment. Unless you're in a current state of this thing is happening to me right this second, you may even think you're thinking about the present, but you're not. More than likely, if you think you're in the present, you're probably in the very near future. How is this thing going to play out today? Is it actively happening to me right now? And if it's not actively happening to me right now, then I can cut that off way more easily than I could. And I get better at it all the time. And I can quiet my brain and, okay, it doesn't exist in the here and now. Look up at the sky. I literally stare at the sky. I literally look at a tree. I was telling someone recently, I went to lunch, a family member, and this person was, whatever, without going into detail on that. This is actually a thought I've had because I've dealt with a lot of weird anxiety stuff my whole life. And I used to think this and I didn't really process it through as well as I have been now, which is I'll look at let's say I'm in a state of just, where I'm just feeling really conflicted. I can't turn my mind off. I'm really concerned with this upcoming thing or this other thing that just happened, or I'm agitated, or I'm grouchy and I feel irked and I just want to punch someone in the whatever. I'll look at like a bush or a tree. I had said to her, and I was looking, I go, you could go lay in that bush right now and just lay there. You could just go sit in the grass and sit in that bush for the next couple hours. You know what I mean? And who's going to stop you? You could just exist there because that is your present moment. Your present moment is just this. All that stuff that's just constricting you right now, It's not here with us, but that bush is. Just go sit in the grass. Go sit in the bush. I don't know if that makes sense, me saying that, but you often hear people say touch grass. They don't mean it in that. I think they mean touch grass, like getting touch, but that's great too. And I walk around barefoot a lot. I see a lot of stuff about walking around barefoot in the grass and letting just your feet kind of be one with the earth. Anything that brings you into the present moment will quiet your mind, unless that present moment is very noisy and crazy, and that happens too, but it's usually the exception. And I don't think she meant how do you quiet your mind when there's a guy with a leaf blower 10 feet away, because I don't think I can do that. What are like some logistic things I do? Yes, sun. Maybe try to exercise a little bit, walk. Not that I'm like gym guy, but I get a little something in. Music is my life. Music, good feel music, something that articulates some other, even sad stuff. You think listening to sad music makes you sad. It doesn't. For me, it's cathartic a lot of times to hear a song express something that I'm feeling too. For me, that is a very quiet and cathartic, peaceful experience. Maybe not for everybody. Hot baths. Nothing recenters me like taking a steaming hot bubble bath. Again, throw on some certain kind of music, lay back. You're there existing in the present. It really comes back to that too. It's bringing you into the present moment. Massages, if you can, get a massage. Find someone who's really good and you trust, and that they can really. I've doing the same person now every time for a while because she's just a maniac and goes so hard and knows exactly what to do. And that's so bad. Not just even again being in the moment, but you need that. Physical release sometimes too. We're so connected, our brains and our bodies, the tension that we hold, it's a back and forth too. It's like all the stress and tension in our brain causes our bodies all this stuff, but it works both ways too. If our bodies aren't great, it affects our mental health as well, and it becomes this whole circle and cycle. Loved ones, laughs, fun combos. It's talking about clicking, just grab those couple people you click with. Have some fun, funny conversations. Be crazy and weird and goofy and vulgar and whatever you guys are into with your inside lingo and this, just the people that you can really just be your weirdest self with, that is really great. It's anything that kind of just takes you out of this laser. I'm laser focused on this thing that I shouldn't be. Take me out of it. Just talk to a friend, have them tell you what's going on in their life, some other thing. That's a great way to kind of just get out of your own head and problems for a while too. You know, what's going on with you? Someone will tell you this crazy thing that happened at work. And it's like, you talk about that for a half hour and you just realize, hey, I haven't even sat here and thought about my own issues for a minute. You don't ever want to be so focused. I keep talking about going into yourself to find yourself and learn and open up and release and all that. Yes. But you don't want to be, that's the opposite of the being constricted and the closed off. And when we're constricted and we're closed off, that's when we ruminate on all the bad stuff. That's when we're stuck in the past and the future and all these things, and they don't exist here. Write things out, journal, whatever. Even sometimes I make notes for what I want to talk about in this pod. I find that note-making process even to be quieting and cathartic. Just like I talked about before with going to a therapist and how beneficial that can be just to open up and let stuff out. You could do that with yourself and a piece of paper. Even take a voice recording app or whatever on your phone. You can voice memo it. You ever do that? You know, there's this thing, I don't have anyone I can talk to about it. Voice memo it to yourself. Listen back to it. Stuff will come out of you that you've been denying or that you may have buried under others. Stuff will come out that you probably don't realize will come out. I've talked about that in relation a lot. There's another one, the inner bonding stuff. I had her on, Dr. Margaret Paul. That's as beneficial as it gets. That's also talking to yourself, getting out the, but in a separate, that's really, to me, that's a form of meditation. And I wish I could get on here and say I'm this meditation person, because I've tried to get into it and I'm still practicing it. And I would say that that's one of the main things, kind of is. But this is also feels like a form of meditation. You're really meditating with your own inner child. And you're having a real dialogue with yourself where real stuff will come out. Just acknowledging it internally and being able to bring something to the surface and then understand how it's affecting you in your life, that alone is such a nice, cathartic, peaceful feeling. That's what allows you to ultimately release something and stop holding it in and trying to resist and deny it, which you're never going to do. I don't care how strong a person you are, you're never going to defeat that in that way. Reading audiobooks more than usual. That's something that quiets my mind. Something super interesting topic, especially if they have a nice voice, or lectures, some podcasts, depending on the guests. I don't listen to a ton of pods, but I will listen to certain guests whenever they're on. Alan Watts lectures. Those are the best. If I credit anyone with reinforcing a lot of thoughts I've had about life and time and the universe and all this stuff I've been flushing out, Alan Watts is the man. He's got endless lectures on, there's the main collection on Audible. I want to say it's like 15 hours or something of his lectures. Don't quote me on that. It's really long though. And he's got more. Audible, YouTube, you name it. That stuff quiets my mind. And look, TV, sports, a good Netflix series, a good movie. Don't beat yourself up about that. Do you want to watch a Netflix series? Oh, that's the devil's. No, it's not. It's not even mindless. It's not even mindless entertainment. Sports is definitely not mindless entertainment. I've talked about it. It's good to watch people performing at the highest levels of excellence, to watch competition at the highest levels of excellence. You want to watch a great TV series? Is it thought-provoking? Does it make you feel? Maybe it just makes you laugh. Maybe it just makes you feel really good. Is that bad? That's a bad thing? That you're saying, I should be out there helping leper kids instead? Get the fuck. The stuff people think, if it's helping your soul to reconcile things or to even laugh or to even have moments of joy or experience or whatever the case may be, your personal journey is everything. And so, yeah, I would say all that stuff. You want to play a video game to quiet your mind? Play a video game to quiet your mind. You're not a degenerate because you hopped on GTA for a couple hours after a stressful day. Stop being so hard on ourselves. Stop. The world's judgy enough. Stop taking that on. Don't be ashamed of whatever you're into, for real. And I would just say another thing, if you're in internal conflict and you're having a hard time getting through a patch or getting over a hump or getting past some internal hurdle or struggle and you can't figure it out, remind yourself that you've gotten this far and that you've felt worse than this before and you've dealt with equally bad or worse shit before, and that even if you haven't, you will always get through until you don't. You'll get through just like you have every other time, and then we all die and everyone dies, and that's nothing to fear either. And I think this is an abstract thing and I don't know how to articulate this properly, but for me, removing the fear of death, or this idea that we can resist even death that comes for everyone, even the ending of this specific life, happens to every single living creature on this planet. The idea that nobody escapes that, nobody can, that relieves everything. I don't know how to explain that, and I should I end up saying this a lot on these shows. I should find a way to articulate that better, because the removing this fear and resistance of death really does somehow remove fear and resistance of everything else, because it's the ultimate thing, and it then makes all that other stuff, I don't want to say it makes it small potatoes, but it almost completely makes it, at least the fears associated with it, become non-relevant. And yeah, you made it this far with the same fears and worries, so why hold on to them like that? Why even, if you're going to make it through, why even bother holding on to any of that stuff? In any case, I got to get to, I'm doing my top five favorite meals. I got to add a little levity to the end of these heavy shows. Listen, the last thing I would say about all that is simply, really, truly, beneath all that, just be easy on yourself. Be kinder to yourself. There's this big misconception that people are being too kind to themselves because they're indulging themselves. I know I say that a lot, but it's true, because I'll say to people need to be much kinder to themselves. What do you mean? People should be more harder on them. Like, no, motherfucker, that guy's being too hard on himself. That's why he's acting out like that. He's already being so hard on himself. If that dude could accept himself in a real way, he'd become a million times healthier and more easy to be around. That's not such a straight line, and I see people get that wrong a lot. So, yeah, don't be ashamed of what you think and what you feel. If it's real to you, embrace it and love it and learn to love all the parts of yourself. Good, bad, ugly, and whatever. Learn to love and embrace it all. It's all you. Love yourself. There you go. That's my final note of the day. Just love yourself. It's true. You have to. Above all else, you have to love and accept yourself. All right. Top five favorite meals. I had to be honest with these. I didn't want to just be like, you know, come off cool. Let me name some exotic dish that I had once or twice and I really love. No, I wanted to keep it like, what are my really go-to dishes that I really love the most? And it was a little tough to put the order together. I almost did 10. I'm going to keep it to top five. Counting up from five to number one. Number five, something everybody loves. Just give me like a nice pizza with a salad and some garlic rolls, stuff like that. Good pepperoni pizza. I'll take other toppings. I'm not that picky. Maybe throw some mushroom on there, whatever, some fresh garlic. Give me a good salad. Listen, Greek salad's really my fave, but I don't want to ruin stuff that's coming up higher in the list. With the pizza, I would take a Greek, but the Italian places don't always make a good Greek. So I'll go with a nice antipasto or like a good gorgonzola salad or something with some crumpled blue. I'll always go feta, some gorgonzola cheese, stuff like that. You could even put a protein in there. This place I get from a lot, it has a pecan encrusted chicken salad, and it's got pecans and encrusted chicken and crumpled gorgonzola and all kinds of stuff. It's delicious. Get out of here with your balsamic dressing, though. I don't want it. Give me like a nice Italian or a creamy Italian. So yeah, number five meal, a good pizza, a nice salad, and some rolls. I'd eat that all day. If I didn't have indigestion, I could just eat that every single day. Greasy pizza and greasy rolls. That's number five. All right, coming in number four. This is one you guys might not know of, but there's a lot of, I never had this till I came down to Florida, and there's a Latin place on every corner. And they're all different. You got the Venezuelan place, the Peruvian place, the Colombian place, whatever. They're all over. And most all these restaurants will have a version of a dish called, I talked about this online before, called Lomo Saltado. I should have looked up what that even translates to. I think it's like salted beef or something. I don't even know. I'm not even going to Google it. But what it is you get these pieces of steak and rice with onions and peppers and this sauce and French fries. And it all kind of gets in. You don't want to eat this. People do, but usually you don't even have the fries as a side. Kind of all sits there together, just soaking up this juice in a bowl with the steak and onion and pepper and fries and rice. And this, depending on the origin of the cuisine, it could have a slightly different flavor, but generally it's a very similar flavor. And I don't know how to describe that. I'm not some expert palate guy that's going to tell you the hints and the stuff that they use to season it. I don't know. But if you ever find yourself in a Latin restaurant, you can't read the menu, you don't know what to get, order you some Lomo Saltado. And I would say, as a side to that, I love me some empanadas. Also, a little salad. I always get a salad with everything. I like to have a green. It feels like I'm digesting a little better and I feel a little healthier. But the salad to the Lomo is not as essential as it is to the Italian with the pizza and the whatever, whatever. But I will take some empanadas. And because I'm eating the steak beef with the Lomo dish, give me a nice chicken empanada with that, with the little sauce. I don't know what they put in the sauce, but a nice crispy, almost any Latin, legit Latin restaurant is going to have Lomo Saltado, and they'll probably have empanadas too on their sides or appetizers. So get those together. That's number four, favorite dish. Number three, this would have never made the list a couple years ago. And I've become a newly, I've had it, I used to eat it once in a while throughout my life. It's the kind of thing I would maybe have once a year or not even. And I've become a little bit of a crab legs addict. Whether it's the Dungeness you can get down here, the snow crab, king crab, I think is the one everyone loves the most. Whatever. Give me some nice crab legs. And again, I need a starch and probably a green with that too. Give me some steak fries or baked potato, some bread, something to kind of sop all that up. But I don't know if I could get full on just crab legs. It's the kind of thing I could just keep. You crack it open and it slides out. The meat's so tasty. People like to put all that Old Bay in seasoning. I had that recently too. I had a scare where I look like I've been rescued from the jungle when I'm eating crab and somebody's feeding me for the first time in a month. And I just got shit all over my hands and face. And I broke out in some crazy hives. And I was like, damn it, I have a shellfish allergy. Because apparently, with shellfish allergies, you can go your whole life without one and then develop one as an adult. And once I saw that, I was like, shit, that's me now. Rest of my life. And shrimp, I'm a shrimp addict. I love all shellfish. And it really had me worried, but I tried it again. After like a week, I was like, all right, I'm going to attempt to eat these shrimp. And then I started eating shellfish again. And I have no idea what the hives came from, so I'm keeping crab legs with the nice potato and bread and some. Number three, favorite meal, boom. Number two, I mentioned this one earlier, I alluded to this one earlier. Give me some Greek food. And here's what I want from the Greek place. I want a gyro. I'm not calling it a gyro or whatever. Give me a gyro, the real one, the lamb one. I'll take a gyro platter, but I probably prefer the sandwich. Give me the pita, and even the platter has the pita. You end up kind of making your own little sandwiches out of it. But give me the lamb beef, gyro beef. Is it called beef if it's a lamb? I don't know. Give me the lamb meat. Give me the pita, some lettuce, tomato, onion, and the tzatziki sauce. That white tzatziki sauce is great. But that doesn't complete the meal. I need, again, but this salad is way more integral to this meal than any of the other salads I mentioned. Nothing comes close to the Greek salad, and that is the meal. Give me the gyro, but I want that Greek salad. I want extra feta on there, and I want warm pita bread. That alone, even if you remove the gyro, especially if I put a protein into the salad, some chicken or shrimp skewers or something, a souvlaki or whatever, I would take that even over the gyro if you said you had to remove one. Give me the warm pita bread and the Greek salad done correctly with the right dressing and the extra feta and just sopping it up. Dad turned us on to this when we were young kids, and it's been one of my favorite meals my whole life. And anytime there's some good Greek, I'm all about it. I would eat Greek food every day, specifically those two items, and Greek fries. I need a starch and a green with every meal. Certain places just do like regular fries, or there's some places that do. Shout out, It's Greek to Me, Fort Lee, New Jersey. I think there's two locations up there, but the Greek fries, when done correctly with the right oil and seasoning, nothing's better. That's number two. Gyro Greek salad, Greek fries. Coming in number one, drum roll. This is an obvious one if you know anything about me, and it's just going to sound basic, but I have to be honest. Give me a steak and potato. Now, with this, I want a house salad and also probably even some ranch dressing, like some nice croutons and shredded cheddar on that salad because it goes a little better. Here's what I'll take with my steak meal. Give me a ribeye or a strip. Ribeye or New York strip, 99% of the time. People are all, oh, you got to do the bone-in ribeye. Eh. Now, I grill a lot too, and I feel like of all the meals, this is really the only one. I did prepare my own crab's legs, but that's just steaming it. I don't make any of the other ones, obviously. I'll grill a steak all day. New York strip steak does grill a little more evenly and easily than a ribeye. Bone-in ribeye is actually pretty tough to cook evenly. And that's not why I don't do it, but if I'm grilling, I'll usually do the boneless ribeye or maybe the strip. Medium, I like it medium. If they go a little under, fine. They go a little over. Listen, if you're grilling and you go a little over, it's still so tender. It's when people over bake them, in my opinion, that they become all tough and chewy. But I'm a medium guy. If it's a little toward the medium rare side, that's fine too. I need the starch. Sometimes I want a baked potato with it, and sometimes I prefer the steak fries. That's kind of a mood thing with the steak. But either steak fries or baked potato is ideal. Baked potato, I like a little butter, a little sour cream, a little salt. Sometimes just sour cream and salt. I don't need the butter if it's a fresh potato. And then give me some other sides. I'll take some garlic bread. I like some kind of rolls with that. Some baked beans is nice. And then, yeah, give me a good house salad. Cucumber, lettuce, tomato, croutons, some sort of shredded cheese or something on there. And I'll take a nice... It's the only time I really like a ranch dressing is when it's with a house salad with the croutons and the shredded cheddar. Because that just goes so delicious and it complements the steak perfectly. Those are my top five favorite meals. Listen, guys, these episodes are long now. I don't know how long this was, but I feel like it's going to be a long one. It feels good. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you guys' feedback. And they're just really, it just feels like a different energy. I don't know. I keep talking about opening up and letting things out. I think maybe I'm finally opening up and letting some stuff out. So thank you guys for being a big part of that. And the question about quieting my mind from Ashley, this pod is a way that I quiet my mind. Somehow by pouring it out there, it quiets it back for me. So really, thank you all so much for tuning in, and thank you for the kind words. I will be back soon with another episode. I hope you all are having a beautiful week and heading into a beautiful weekend. I appreciate you. I will see you soon. Be good.